Thank you. So I will go back from the issues of measurement of trade flows and services to the issue of trade barriers and services. And since we have already mentioned a few times the Services Trade Restrictiveness Index, I will describe quickly what our efforts have been in this area and also what we are using these indices for. So the OECD STRIs, they were published about a year ago for the initial version. The idea, as has already been mentioned, is to both record in a comprehensive and in a comparable manner across countries the measures that the type of regulation that impede trade in services, and also to provide synthetic indices that would give a very quick glance view of how open or less open countries are. So we cover all restrictions to all four modes of supply for 19 sectors. So far we have 42 countries in the database. This is, again, this has already been said, if we compare it to the World Bank effort in this area, it's really a trade-off between like how detailed you can get into the measures, into looking at the sources directly, and how many countries we can cover. So we're kind of at the other end of that spectrum. Then I would like to talk a little bit about what are the difficulties when we try to do this type of exercise and how we've dealt with it. So first difficulty is that when we look at services, pretty much all sectors are different. We are really looking in the area of domestic regulations when we look at trade barriers. And so when we design the database for every sector, each time when some measures are common to all sectors, obviously, like foreign equity restrictions and this type of measures. But then every time we need to some extent to start over and look in detail at what is the structure of this sector, how is it traded, and then what kind of measures are going to be relevant. So that's step one of the process. Step two is, once we know what kind of restrictions we want to look at, is to find the information. And that's also a challenge, because this information is in laws and regulation and sector-specific laws, and the data collection effort was really a big part of this project. In order to be sure to have both consistent and complete data, we actually had to look ourselves into the primary source, so look into the laws and regulation of every country in original language and record what was in there. And then we had a process where each country was able to verify its databases, and also a peer review process where all countries had the opportunity to review the databases of their partners and comment on them in case we missed or misinterpreted something. So we had this quite extensive verification process to be sure that we got the data right. Then once we have the database, we need to convert it into indices. And there were, again, two steps. One is going from qualitative measures to quantitative information. Some measures, most of them, can be scored 0 or 1. But then we needed to take into account the fact that they interact with each other. So not all measures are independent. Sometimes they are conditioned by others. For instance, if no foreign investment at all is allowed in a sector, it doesn't really matter that there is no screening or that the nationality of board members is not restricted, because you cannot invest in the first place. So these regulations are not relevant anymore. Another issue, and especially when we look in the area of barriers to competition, which we also included, and these are some obstacles to competition in general, to entry in the market, that are not necessarily discriminatory towards foreign services provider relative to domestic entrants, but that still affect the ability of foreign firms to enter the market. So we included those. And in that case, we had to take into account different regimes. For instance, in telecoms, the best practice regulation is not the same if there is a dominant supplier or if there isn't. In one case, price regulation is good. In the other case, it's bad, for instance. Or the fact that in some instances you need to have several regulations in place at the same time to ensure competition in the market. For instance, if you mandate that dominant suppliers must allow leasing of their networks, but prices are not regulated in that area, well, competition is still not guaranteed. So that was taken into account in the scoring. And then once we've done that, we also weighted the five main policy areas that we considered, being entry, operations, barriers to competition, restrictions to the movement of people, that is mode 4, and administrative burden. And this weighting was done by, again, sector by sector, by surveying experts of the sector in question. And the reason why we had different weighting for different sectors is, again, due to the structure of its services. For instance, trade and banking services, that's mostly Mode 3, and barriers to entry are going to be very important. If we look at legal services, the movement of people is much more important. So we needed to, in order to make the indices comparable, to actually give different weights to these areas. So we end up with this, both database and indices. All of this is online. It's publicly available. We also put online sector briefs and country briefs to have a quick look at what the situation is by country and by sector, and an online policy simulator that enables the users to simulate the effect of some reforms. Say if we remove these restrictions, what would have happened to the index? So far, our indices have a base year 2013. What we are doing now is updating them to 2015, so that should be done by the beginning of next year. And also, we are extending the country coverage a little bit, but that is very, very slow. Currently, we're only adding two more countries. And the reason why we can't do more again is because this is quite a resource-intensive process, both for us and for the people in capitals who need to verify the data. Very, very quickly, too, the so what question, so why does it matter? We've also started looking into the impact and where do these barriers matter. We have done some preliminary work on firm-level data linking the level of restrictions to performance in the market, so to prices and to markups, showing that where there are more restrictions, the markups tend to be higher in domestic markets, restricting competition. We have linked them to exports and imports, and actually found that trade barriers in services tend to restrict imports, which we would expect, but also to restrict exports through this competitiveness channel. And we are now proceeding to estimate ad valorem equivalence where we can. And another area, and especially when we have seen the results of the trade-in value-added exercise, is linking these services restrictions to performance in downstream manufacturing sectors that use these services as inputs. When we look at transport or finance or business services, we also see that there that restrictions that in these sectors, in the services sectors, affect the competitiveness downstream of manufacturers. So this is the type of analysis that we can use it for. I guess the last word would be to say that the constraints on this are those that have already been mentioned. We can only go so far as the counterpart data on trade flows in services allow us to go. So especially when we want to look at the impact of restrictions on Mode 3, there are a lot of constraints. Ideally, we would like to know what the cost of these barriers are by mode of supply, but as Andreas said, there is some progress in that area, but we're not quite there yet. So here again, I don't know if we have better data on trade barriers or on trade flows, but there is progress to be made on both fronts.
Thank you, Dorothy. Sam, do you would like to?
Thank you, Andreas. I have three points very quickly I want to make, as most of the things that I was, about to, I want to touch upon have been already said. Very quickly, I want to talk about the joint compilation of statistics that ANCTAD does with other organizations. And then I want to also talk about the e-learning tool that ANCTAD is currently developing, also in collaboration with other agencies. I also want to talk about international trade and the ICT services and the ICT-enabled services that also ANCTAD is working on. And lastly, I briefly talk about the project that ANCTAD has recently is starting actually this month in West Africa with UMOA, the new economic et monetaire West African. On the compilation of harmonized statistics, as you know, ANCTAD maintains a database on trade in goods, but also in trade in services that is called UNCTAD-STAT, that is accessible to the public. And this database will be presented, in fact, in the afternoon. You are welcome to come and have a look at the database. This has already been said, that the collaboration to develop these statistics, UNCTAD collaborates very closely with WTO. Right now there is a work in progress to develop a harmonized approach to estimate the value of total trade. Okay. Second, this e-learning tool on international trade and services is worth mentioning, because I think it's going to be extremely important for people who are comparing trade and services statistics. This is a joint project led by UNCTAD in partnership with WTO and the UN Statistical Division. And within UNCTAD, this is a joint project between statistics, the unit of statistics, and the unit called Trend for Trade. The aim, the objective of the project is to develop an online tool or training course to assist the compilers of international trade and services statistics to ensure that they use the same standards and according to the new manual on statistic of international trade and services that was presented by Andreas. This manual on statistics was developed by seven organizations, and UNCTAD has played an active role in coming up with the new recommendations on how to compile statistics of international trade and services. And I think this has also been mentioned. This has been approved by the United Nations Statistics Commission, I believe, in 2010. Or 12? Yeah. This tool that UNCTAD is working on in collaboration with other agencies is going to have six modules. The first module will talk about the importance of trade and services statistics. And the second module will look into how to set up the prerequisite for data collection and compilation. Then there will be a module on data sources and the collection. The fourth module will look into data compilation using this manual. And then there will be also a module on data compilation using FAST. And then there will be a last module on dissemination and analysis. So the work on this tool is quite in an advanced stage. The first drafts of the six modules have been completed and are now being improved to take on board comments. And it's envisioned that UNCTAD will start filming in mid-September. And the online tool should be launched by spring, early summer 2016. The third thing I want to talk about to mention is the international trade in ICT services and the ICT-enabled services. Some people want to refer to digitally delivered services. And this is under the auspices of Partnership on Measuring ICT for Development. This is a joint project led by UNCTAD in partnership with the United Nations Statistics Division, WTO, OECD, the Economic and Social Commission for Western Asia, ITU, and World Bank, and with a very important contribution from Dr. Timothy Sturgeon from the MIT Industrial Performance Center. This work has been done in close collaboration with the Task Force on International Trade Statistics. The main aim of this partnership is to develop new methods of measuring trade in ICT services. and trade in ICT-enabled services. This work is of considerable importance for many developing countries. Lastly, I want to mention very quickly about this project that UNCTAD is going to start this month with the Monetary Union of the Western African Economic and Monetary Union, UEMOA. And the idea is to basically use this manual and see how the data, they can collect the data in a region, and with the objective of sustainability, and see how UEMOA could eventually work with the member states to collect this data on an annual basis and have a database that is updated on a regular basis. I think that's what I had to say on this.
Thank you, Sam. So you have seen since our last data day in terms of the different organizations working together to improve the information on trade flow in terms of collection, in terms of joint data dissemination, also working together in terms of the trade policy information, building the STRIs in the OECD context, in the World Bank context. We have the ITIP, so there are many, many applications now available. José has also informed us on the way, if we look at the user's point of view, to use these data. So I'd like to open now the floor for any of your questions. Lunch is looming. Well, if there are no questions, then I would ask Hubert to conclude.